Hello, this is Roland Trujillo. Welcome. We're going to talk about stress today, ladies and gentlemen. Stress, post-traumatic stress, and other assorted symptoms that are accompanying what we call stress. And but more importantly, we're going to talk about what you can do to solve your stress issues. Let me begin by saying that all of our problems begin when we are separated from our own ground of being. It begins to happen for most of us when we're little kids. When you were a little child, you saw things and you knew things. Nobody could teach you. For example, if you saw an injustice, maybe you and another child were there and one child was being treated better than you, you saw the injustice. You didn't have to go to school to learn about it. You just saw it. Or if somebody was being very mean to yourself or to someone else, you saw that they were being mean and you saw something wrong with that. Nobody had to teach you about injustice. You didn't have to take a course in theology or in ethics or in philosophy. You just saw it wordlessly. Well, as the years went by, and that is your ground of being. That is your ground of being. When you're close to that ground of being, all the good things flow from that ground of being. When you remain in touch with it, in harmony with it, in rapport with it, then you grow and flow naturally. And you become what you were meant to be, what the good Lord meant you to be. But what happened is that you were emotionalized. You were emotional. Someone on the outside tugged on your heartstrings, or most likely they made you angry, and you started to become externalized in that way. And then, to make matters worse, you eventually, when people were mean or cruel or unfair, or they rejected you, or, you know, all the negative things you can think of that might possibly be done to someone, it made you resentful. And when you became resentful, then that is even worse, because resentment is like a little tiny bit of hate, and it cuts you off from love. Now, remember earlier I said that we have a ground of being, and from this ground of being we can live and move and have our being and grow and flow naturally. And to the extent that you remain close to that ground of being, to your intuition, to what you know in your heart, and flow from it, well, then you become what you were meant to be. But as you become separated from it, through emotions first, then through resentment, hostility, then what happens is you start to become externalized, and you start to become in the image of the world around you that upset you. Okay? All right, so that's basically what happens to us. Now, some people, it has happened to just about everybody. And then another thing, we're pressured from the outside. There's school pressure, ambition pressure, sex pressure, drug pressure, religion pressure from all manner of sources, including, sad to say, our parents pressure us. And when we react and respond to the pressure, again, with resentment, often, then what happens? We become even more separated from our inner ground of being. And then we begin to respond to that pressure hypnotically. The ground by which we could have resisted the pressures, the ground from which we could have stood back and observed the pressures without reacting, without resenting, and without changing. Without changing for the worse, without changing to become more like the world and less like what we were meant to be. That ground is what we fall away from. And that is what you have to refine. You have to refine that ground of being. But what happens is, as I said, the more we react to the outside, the more we begin to change. You could sense it yourself when you were a kid. You sensed that you were changing when you hated your parents, for example. Or when you took drugs or things like that, you could sense that you were beginning to change, or promiscuous sex, you sensed something was lost, some innocence was lost, when you became angry or when you did something that was wrong. Afterwards, you sensed something had changed. But what happens is that when we change, then we look for approval and support for what we have changed into. See, when you were a little child and you were very close to your ground of being, then your parents' job was to represent on the outside, see, to stand for on the outside, or to validate on the outside what you knew in your heart on the inside. But alas, many parents don't do that very well. And if they had validated what you knew in your heart, then that would have been its own support. You see what I mean? In other words, truth is self-evident. And when you're healthy, you just feel healthy. It's only when you become sick that you think back and realize how nice it was to be healthy. You see what I mean? So when you were close to your own ground of being, well, you had everything right there. You had everything from which you could have become what you were meant to be. But when you lost it, then you didn't know how to get it back. But you did know that you had changed, and you felt guilty before conscience. You felt guilty before this ground of being, so you looked for approval and assurance and reassurance from the ones that had actually changed you. So you looked for assurance from parents who may have pressured you, from teachers who pressured you, from the group that pressured you. See? You looked for approval and reassurance. So before long, you became socialized, undoubtedly, and you began to hang around with other kids that were just like you. They too had been pressured out of their own inner ground of good, and they too needed reassurance. So you all clung together, and you took drugs together, and you smoked together, and you drank together, and you had sex together, and you supported each other. See? But the way back is to start to give up, as it were, to give up the worldly supports and begin to look again for the support from your creator. See, God is your creator. He's the one that, through your ground of being, makes you aware of truth, and makes you aware of things intuitively, wordlessly. It's his light within, see? And so you have to find your way back to him. But you can't find him on the outside. You know, you can hear about God, you can hear about religion, you can hear about many wonderful things. It's like hearing about the sun. You know, you can read books about the sun, but to experience the sun, the warmth of the sun on a beautiful warm afternoon, to lay in the grass and feel the warmth of the sun is the most wonderful thing. Well, that's what you need. You need to experience God. But right now what you experience is conflict with God, which we call conscience. You experience conflict, God, see, and you rush for approval and support from people on the outside, or you use drugs to support you, to pills to support you, to alcohol to support you, to marijuana to support you, to all your distractions and your music. See, your music loves you just as you are. Your drugs love you just as you are. Your marijuana, your friends love you just the way you are. But the way you are is the way you've been recreated, not the self that you're originally meant to be. So now perhaps you can see why we have so much conflict, why we feel uneasy, why we feel anxiety. They used to call it free-floating anxiety. Anxiety is guilt in its most least recognizable form. And guilt is for what? For being separate from our inner ground of being. Guilt for looking for support from others instead of looking to God. You see what I mean? Guilt for copping out, for giving in to the pressure, and then looking for reassurance. See? Now let's take a moment to talk about trauma. I have already been talking about trauma. Perhaps you noticed that I used the word change a lot. I said we change. When we respond to the outside and we fall away from our inner ground, we fall away from love, we fall away from wordlessly knowing things in the light of truth, and we begin responding and reacting emotionally and hypnotically to pressures, people, places, things on the outside. You see? And that is actually trauma. That's trauma. So when you're a teenager and you take drugs or have promiscuous sex in the morning after the night before, you feel something has changed. You sense that you've lost your innocence. Well, that's trauma. See? It's change. You get a nice young person that walks into a corporate office, a nice innocent young person that's 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. They walk into a corporate office and 10 years later, you don't even recognize them. You don't even recognize them as being the same person anymore. Something has happened. They've changed. See? Well, so now you know what trauma is. So now, in the light of what I have just said, now you can see why situations like trauma-producing situations, like some kind of a bad inner-city gang environment or a horrible school with violence and lack of supervision and so forth, a crowded daycare with, you know, dozens and dozens of out-of-control kids in it, or a theater of war where there is mayhem, fusion, betrayal, cruelty, violence, all kinds of awful things happening. See? Or some kind of a phony environment. Going into some organization or to be with some people who you think are going to be nice people and good people, and you find out that they're not. You find out there's cheating and lying, betrayal and cruelty and backstabbing and awful things happening. See? And then, of course, there's being robbed. That can be a trauma. Or being mugged or being raped. Being molested. You see? But now let's look at the principle. Let's look at the principle and see how the principle that we had talked to earlier about falling away. We said that we fall away from love through resentment. And we fall away from truth. See, by doubting what we know in our heart and by responding to what we see on the what is pressured upon us on the outside. Well, rape is a form of pressure. Being robbed is a form of pressure. Being bullied is a form of pressure or intimidation. Being on the battlefield there are pressures there. You see, going to work for some organization where there's something, bad things happening, that's a pressure. See, there's just so many pressures. So what are the principles then that would protect you, from being traumatized? The principles that would protect you from being traumatized are not resenting, not hating, and not doubting. See? It's just because you go to work somewhere, or you go to a theater of war, or you're in an inner city environment, or a gang environment, and there is mayhem, and cruelty, and betrayal, and violence, and awful things, meaningless violence, horrible things happening. It's possible to see those things, see, without hating the people. See the wrong. That doesn't mean you have to like it or accept it or pretend that it's nice. No, it's not nice. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to like it. You don't have to pretend not to see it. You see it, but you don't hate the people. Okay, that's principle number one. Number two, don't doubt. See, one of the things that happens is that when we... Doubt comes about in a couple of ways. One way doubt comes about is simply through emotion. We doubt through emotion. See, when you become all emotionalized, whether it's excitement, see, screaming and yelling at a ball game, getting too excited about something, wanting something too much, you know, a new car or clothes or whatever it might be, an education. Or on the other hand, getting excited through reacting angrily towards something. That excitement, see, washes away reason, separates you from your inner ground and connects you to the outside. So you fall away from a closeness or rapport to your inner ground of good and inner truth by which you can see and know things when you become emotional. Well, that's one thing. That's why we need to calm down. The other way we doubt is when we begin to doubt truth and goodness and God's providence. We see people are mean and cruel, or we see them betray, and then we begin to have negative doubts. We resent them and we think, well, then there's no truth, there's no goodness. People are, you see what I mean? There's no God. See how those doubts creep in? Through the negative emotion of resentment and hostility, then the negative thoughts creep in. But just because somebody else has betrayed someone doesn't mean that there isn't truth. See, how do you know that how do you know that betrayal is wrong? You can see that betrayal is wrong. You see it in the light of truth. And the very fact that you can see something wrong with betrayal, you can see something wrong with confusion, you can see something wrong with mayhem, you can see something wrong with deceit. See, the very fact that you can see something wrong with those proves that there is a truth and an inner light in which you can see and know that there's something wrong with them, you see? So there in itself is proof that there is truth. And we know that God exists because we have a conscience. When we do something wrong, when we hate somebody, when we're cruel to somebody or mean to them, afterwards we feel bad. Well, that's your conscience. It's from God. And that way you know that God cares about people. He cares. He doesn't want you to hate them. He doesn't want you to resent them. He doesn't want you to be phony with them. You see? So now you know that he's good and that he cares about things. So you know there is truth and there is God. So now start trusting in that again. Okay? It doesn't mean that you still won't have doubt thoughts, but just learn to observe the doubt thoughts and let them pass. All right? All right. Well, this is a very nice little introduction to what will be our meditation. And I've laid the groundwork. Now you understand how we humans, all of us, come into a world where we are pressured from the outside and emotionalized. We fall away from our inner ground. See? And then when worse things happen, bigger traumatic things happen, those are simply bigger, more heavy-duty versions of the kind of falling of doubting what is right, doubting what is true, and resenting other people. See? So the antidote is what? The antidote is not to hate, not to resent. Okay? And the antidote is to not doubt. See? That's the antidote. And then a very, very important part of getting better is the meditation. The meditation is very important because it is a little technology that helps you to refine your inner ground of good, to refine that, to become still enough, and to get out of thinking, the squirrel cage of thinking and feeling, the squirrel cage of imagination, to stand back from that and touch bases, get back in touch with your inner ground of good. Meditation helps you do that, and it helps you extend, see, the love, see, the light, the warmth that comes from that inner ground helps you extend it through your body, and it will begin to have a positive effect upon your emotions, upon your thoughts, upon your mind, upon your body. All based on the very simple little meditation, which is a proper technique to get back to God. Now, let me say that there are many, many meditations, but this one is very special because it's very simple and it includes God. Meditations don't include God. See, they have a fatal flaw. They're another to find a peace apart from God. Look, when we smoke, when we drink, when we take marijuana, etc., etc., take pills, we're trying to find a peace apart from God. How much better it is to find God and then to have a peace with God and a peace from God. You see. Okay? And then other meditations, they may be well-intentioned, but they have visualization and things like that, which is more imagination. But what we need is less imagination. You've been lost in your imagination. That's where all those dark thoughts arise. The imagination comes from the world, from the outside, from the person. See, your rabid thoughts and emotions and all those negative thoughts, voices that talk to you and so on, they all come from the outside, always trying to upset you and scare you and make you doubt and so on and mislead you. You need to be able to stand back and simply observe those. Meditation helps you to do that. Okay? So the meditation is very, 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 very simple, very good, very important. And we will now practice the little introductory version of the meditation to get started. You may begin to practice the meditation when you're ready. Turn your MP3 player or your CD player, the computer audio off for a moment, that's fine. and come back to it when you would like to, or you may continue with it right now. We're going to do the meditation.